And now stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history.
No, not really. It's April Fool's Day. Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison. On this evening's show, we've got songs about a very important invention. We'll be celebrating Paul Whiteman's birthday, and we'll have some songs about cake. But to get us started, it is now officially spring, and here to make that announcement musically is Johnny Morris.
Buggies in the park, and with the coppers they hold hands and spoon it till it's dark. When the mustard bites the hot dogs and they all begin to bark, then you'll know that spring is here.
January morning, we two meet without a warning, and I hope my eyes will say for me that you've made the day like May for me. From now on, 'twill be my failing not to know when it is hailing. Every storm is unavailing. Now that you're part of my heart, sweetheart, it seems to be spring. Little songbirds form in quartets. This calendar thing nature forgets. The snow must have felt it was rather wiser to melt. The warmth of your voice had left left it no choice. It seems to be spring, little larks are larking about. Come closer and cling, not a person's parking about. Those cold loves, all my old loves from me I fling. It seems to be spring in my heart. Seems to be spring. Seems to be spring.
The Happiness Boys, Joe Mooney and Brother Dan, and It Seems to Be Spring from August of 1930. And we started with the Georgians from April 13, 1926, and Spring is Here. The Georgians were a subset of the Phil Spect Orchestra. The Spect Orchestra played music for dancing in the ballroom of the Hotel Almanac in New York City, and afterwards the smaller version of the group that went by the name of the Georgians played in the cocktail lounge. In 1922, the Georgians went to Europe and stayed until 1924, returning and rejoining Spect's orchestra. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. Last week, March 26th, marked the birth in 1880 in Bowling Green, Kentucky, of Duncan Hines. His first job at age 19 was driving a Wells Fargo wagon between Denver and Cheyenne. In 1905, he went into the printing and advertising business as a salesman, a traveling salesman. In the course of his travels, he found some eating places worth a return visit and some to be avoided. After a number of bad eating experiences, he and his wife began compiling a personal list of superior eating establishments. One year, instead of mailing traditional Christmas cards to their friends and family, they printed the list and mailed it out. They received hundreds of requests for copies from people they never heard of. So, as a hobby, Duncan Hines began compiling a book, which he called Adventures in Good Eating. He resigned from the printing firm to become a full-time traveler and author. In 1938, he published his second book, Lodging for a Night, followed in 1939 by Adventures in Good Cooking, and over the next 15 years, he published several other books. Duncan Hines died at age 78 at his home in Bowling Green, Kentucky. As a former grocery clerk, I most closely associate his name with cake mixes, so here to commemorate Duncan Hines are a couple of songs about cake, starting off with Emil Coleman's Riviera Orchestra.
Thank you. dare go further, you shall have a break. From now on, you'll be eating cake.
We've always wanted cake. At last, we get that break.
With drums a-booming and a flag unfurled, this is what I'm telling the world.
Comrades, it is clear, the millennium is here. Let him eat cake, the land of freedom is free once more. Let him eat cake, let there be sunshine from shore to shore. Now is the time to be waking, come on, let's start. Now is the time to be taking your part. Let me take, the times are coming, the skies are clear. Let it be known the whole world over, the new day is
recorded by Jeanette at a music convention in Cincinnati, Ohio on January 22, 1925, Bernie Cummins and his orchestra and Perrin's I Like Pie, I Like Cake, but close Perrin's I Like You Best of All. And before that, Emil Coleman's Riviera Orchestra with an unidentified vocalist and Let 'Em Eat Cake from October 16, 1933 from George and Ira Gershwin's Let 'Em Eat Cake. And you're hearing it all on Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm your host, Glenn Robison. We're going to go to the movies when we return, right after this. Looking at this past week in history, on March 26th in 1885, the first commercial motion picture film was produced in Rochester, New York by Eastman Kodak. And, of course, they're still making it today. Eastman Kodak was developed by George Eastman. So what does the word Kodak have to do with it? Nothing. One of the most widely recognized trademarks in the world was named because it had a unique sound and, since it started with the letter K, could be pronounced and spelled in almost any language. So here to commemorate Kodak's motion picture film are some songs about pictures and movies, starting off with Kay Kaiser and his orchestra.
Oh, take your girlie to the movies. There's no little brother there who always squeals, and you can say an awful lot in 7 reels, and you take your lessons at the movies, and have love scenes of your own. And when the show is over and it's time to leave, don't forget to brush the powder off your sleeve. Now you take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home. Now you pick a cozy corner where it's nice and dark, and don't catch influenza kissing in the park. Well, she's just a simple little ribbon clerk. Why, you close your eyes and think you're kissing Billy Burke. Yeah, take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home.
A great sensation, with wealth and fame your reward. And if you should kiss the way you kiss when we are all alone, you'd make every girl and man a fan worshipping at your throne. You ought to shine as brightly as Jupiter and Mars. You ought to be in pictures by Star of Stars.
each day. You should hear the lovely things I say. But I thought how happy I would be if your photograph could talk to me. If I had a talking picture of you, I would run it every time I felt blue. I would sit there in the room of my lonely little room and applaud each time you whispered, I love you, on the screen the moment you came in view. We would talk the whole thing over, we two. I would give 10 shows a day and a midnight matinee if I had a talking picture of you.
The screen. Things out there in Hollywood are not so darn serene. All the stars are in a panic. Here's the reason why. Everyone must talk out loud or kiss their jobs goodbye. Lots of old-time stars are out of a job. All they do is blubber and sob ever since the movies learned to talk. And a red-hot vamp who registered cash sounds as if she's ordering hash ever since the movies learned to talk. Oh, they can't fool you and they can't fool me. When they open up, it's a squeak. Why, it's a sin. Even Rin Tin Tin has a bark that sounds like a peak. When the hero sings Asleep in the Deep, he sounds just like Little Bo Peep ever since the movies learned to talk. Every bathroom singer has a chance to make a name. Any guy with leather lungs can crash the Hall of Fame. If you know your Vodido and Do Re Mi Fa So, you can go to Hollywood and make a lot of dough. When the villain gets the gal in his toils, she says, take your dirty old poils, ever since the movies learned to talk. And when Emil Jannings opens his mouth, you'd swear he was raised in the South ever since the movies learned to talk. When a dark-eyed dame with a foreign name starts to talk in doing a scene, we all know she's from Buffalo and her Christian name is Levine. Though the hero's big, still everyone knows he makes every stitch of his clothes ever since the movies learned to talk. Once a movie kiss made hearts loop the loop, now it sounds like drinking hot soup ever since the movies learned to talk. All the old-time stars were seen but not heard, now you hear them lisp every word ever since the movies learned to talk. When they start a scene, it's an awful scream. He says, sweetheart, kiss me, my dear. She said, this is so sudden, sweet. Can't you say you miss me, my dear? He said, honest, truly, sweetie, I swear, you yourself start lisping right there ever since the movies learned to talk.
Some songs about movies, starting off this edition of Rapidly Rotating Records. We heard from James King Kern, better known as Kay Kaiser, and Take Your Girlie to the Movies from 1935. Kay Kaiser was born in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. He formed his first band in college in the late 20s. It later expanded and toured widely. In the early 1930s, he performed at the Black Hawk Restaurant in Chicago, and in 1937 began broadcasting his popular radio show, Kay Kaiser's College of Musical Knowledge, which also appeared on television from 1949 to 1951, the year Kay Kaiser retired. After Kay Kaiser, it was Richard Himber and his orchestra with Joey Nash and You Oughta Be in Pictures. Then, from August 23, 1929, Earl Burtnett and his Los Angeles Biltmore Hotel Orchestra, and If I Had a Talking Picture of You, written by DeSilva, Brown, and Henderson. If I Had a Talking Picture of You was sung in the 1929 talking picture Sunny Side Up by Charles Farrell and Janet Gaynor. Besides playing at the Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles, Earl Burtnett was also resident for a time at Chicago's Drake Hotel. And we finished up with Billy Murray in 1928, and ever since the movies Learned to Talk. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, toe-tapping music from the 1920s and 30s. Your comments and requests are always welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@glennrobison.com, GLENNROBISON, or by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. We'll be back with Red Nichols, Ted Wallace, Lloyd Scott, and Frank Melrose when we return right after this. This past week on March 27th in 1860, M.L. Byrne of New York City patented a very important invention. The device was a covered gimlet screw with a T-handle. In other words, the corkscrew. So here, in honor of M.L. Byrne's invention, are some appropriate songs. Apparently Red Nichols and the Charleston Chasers have been putting Mr. Byrne's corkscrew to good use because they're feeling no pain. Thank you.
the bottle, an old empty bottle. Then you find a level space upon the floor to place the bottle. Then you start to toddle, keep watching the bottle. Then you step around a bit, be careful not to hit the bottle. Then just like a clown, start messing around. Keep going to town. Now do a break and wiggle like a snake that's hitting a bottle. It's easy to do. Everybody hits the bottle.
Some songs to commemorate M.L. Burns' patent of the corkscrew. From September 8, 1927, we heard Red Nichols and the Charleston Chasers and a Fud Livingston composition, Feelin' No Pain. Then it was drummer Lloyd Scott's orchestra with trombonist Dickie Wells and Happy Hour from January 10, 1927. That was followed by Frank Melrose from February 12, 1929 and Pass the Jug. And we finished up with Ted Wallace and his Campus Boys from July 10, 1930, and a Ted Kohler, Harold Arlen song, Hittin' the Bottle. And you're hearing it on Rapidly Rotating Records with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We'll be back with Paul Whiteman when we return right after this. This past week, March 28th, marked the birth in 1890 in Denver, Colorado, of Paul Whiteman. Paul was a violinist in the Denver Symphony Orchestra between 1912 and 1915 and the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra until 1918. After brief service in the U.S. Navy during World War I, he became the leader of the orchestra at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco in 1919. He moved this band to engagements in Atlantic City and New York in 1920, toured with it in Europe in 1923, and made numerous recordings. He became famous in the 20s as a pioneer of the sweet band style as opposed to traditional jazz. Whiteman gained wide renown as the conductor of the 1924 premiere of Rhapsody in Blue, Gershwin's symphonic jazz experiment. Whiteman was promoted thereafter as the king of jazz. He led his orchestra throughout the mid-1940s, then worked as the music director of ABC in New York until his retirement. Here's Paul Whiteman. Thank you.
and sweet milk from the cow. Felix, Felix, in our backyard, you can hang up your hat. Make your pillow underneath a pussy willow. Felix, Felix the cat.
Thank you.
Five of my favorites from Paul Whiteman, born 111 years and 4 days ago. We heard Whiteman's Stomp, written by Fats Waller, from November 8, 1927. Then it was Announcer's Blues from September of 1935, in the band at that time Jack and Charlie Teagarden and Frank Trumbauer, who would go on to record the song for Brunswick with his own band on January 29, 1936. After that it was Felix the Cat, New York, February 28, 1928. And from 1927, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra and Dancing Tambourine. And we finished up our little tribute to Paul Whiteman and the show with Charlestonette from 1925. You've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records on Island Radio, KISL FM 88.7 Avalon. I'm your host, Glenn Robison, inviting you to tune in again next Sunday evening at 6 for more toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. If you miss the show on Sunday evening, you can catch the rebroadcast Saturdays at 6. And a reminder that KISL is now streaming online, so your friends and family over town or anywhere in the world can hear the same unique programming that you enjoy. Catch the link at www.kisl.org. Your comments and requests are always welcome and can be sent by email to Glenn at glennrobison.com or by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. That's P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. Until next Sunday evening at 6, this is Glenn Robison thanking you for your very kind attention.